Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
This is The Takeaway. I'm John Hockenberry. Thanks so much for listening. And consider this now. A decade of legal limbo, total confinement, but always you have the anticipation of some day in court where the conditions of your confinement, charges, evidence, all this will be challenged. But then after years go by, this anticipation is replaced gradually by the realization that maybe this limbo is permanent, that confinement will have no end, and that there will never be the opportunity to seriously challenge anything in court. An opportunity to even know the charge against you. Perhaps you'll never be formally charged. This might be exactly what is happening to the prisoners at the Guantanamo Bay Detention Center. The U.S. military says that 94 prisoners are now on a hunger strike at the detention facility. Lawyers for the prisoners dispute that number, saying that perhaps 130 of the 166 captives joined the strike 2 months ago. There are reports of violence and lockdown at Gitmo as well. Few people know Guantanamo Bay better than Miami Herald correspondent Carol Rosenberg, who's just returned from a trip to the detention facility. She joins us from the studios of WLRN in Miami. Carol, welcome.
Thank you, John.
What do you make of this idea that perhaps there is a realization hitting the inmates at Guantanamo Bay about their status and that that has motivated a real change in attitude by them?
Well, I keep thinking back to this summer when I spent a week down there during Ramadan, and it was a completely different climate. The guards stepped back. More than 100 detainees were living communally, eating on their own, praying on their own, living on their own. And even then, they kind of knew there was a sense of indefinite detention to their status. But something changed since Ramadan. And I think there's two things. One is the president was elected again, and we had an inauguration, and nobody talks about Guantanamo anymore. So I do think that a certain level of despair has set in. But the guards changed, you know. The men who are under lockdown now are the men who spent that very peaceful Ramadan together back in August. But we now have maybe battle-hardened, but certainly, you know, war-experienced MPs on the block, and they've brought a different, harder doctrine to the detention that's down there from the sailors who used to be in charge of the communal camps. So it's hard to sort of quantify what's changed, but I can tell you it's a really dramatically different Guantanamo today than it was when I visited this summer. I try to get there every month and get into the prison every couple of months to look around. And this is really a doctrine and an era that's reminiscent of Bush administration lockdown. Like you said, we've got 94 of the men hunger striking. The military's medical teams, which is Navy, are force feeding 17 of them every day. And there are three at the hospital. They're churning them through the hospital, keeping an eye on them. And it's a pretty dark mood down there on both sides. I mean, we hear from the detainees through their lawyers, and the lawyers are angry. They say that they've lost a quality of life they had when I was there during the Ramadan this summer. And the guards are angry. They say that the detainees weren't following their rules. They weren't behaving the way they wanted their prisoners to behave, and that these guards say they inherited a prison where the detainees got too much, expected too much, and now they're back to what they call basic issue. One man to a cell, very austere conditions, a blanket, a Quran if they want it, prayer beads, supposedly, you know, a bar of soap and a toothbrush. I had one Marine major who's a defense lawyer this week tell me his client hasn't even gotten his toothbrush since lockdown. So whatever is going on down there, it's a very dark period for Guantanamo.
And the New York Times, and I know your colleague Charlie Savage wrote this piece for the New York Times. He doesn't quote anyone directly in there, but he seems to suggest that sources on both sides, military and the defense lawyers, and there are military lawyers, of course, have come to a consensus that there is a despair setting in that relates to the idea that nothing may ever change, that the only way out of Guantanamo is in a body bag.
That is absolutely true. There is a despair on the side of the detainees. The military, they come and go. They leave every year or so. They move on, and they see this as just part of the war on terror detention. On the policy side, yes, it's hard to see people in the Obama administration at this point trying to figure out how to get the next man out of Guantanamo alive.
Is this a situation where the administration has just kind of given up and just wants to wait this out? Or legally speaking, has the entire system been backed into a corner and there really is no procedural way through this?
That seems to be the position of the White House. You know, the Red Cross came through recently, and they're really urging President Obama to find a way to work with Congress to get men out of there. What people seem to forget is that of the 166 detainees, 86 of them are approved for release in one fashion or another. The Obama administration task force, FBI, CIA, DIA, Justice Department, went through the files of the Guantanamo captives and said there's 86 men who really shouldn't be there. That doesn't mean opening up the cell doors and letting them walk out to the, you know, the sailor's bar on the base. It means finding a way to get them off, out of the prison, off the base, and to a country that can take care of them, that can either rehabilitate them or keep an eye on them or help them start with a new life with a new nationality. And that's just stopped. At the beginning of the Obama administration, they actually had an ambassador, Ambassador Freed in Washington, traveling the world, finding countries to do just that, to take them in one at a time. Well, talk about despair. Ambassador Freed has been reassigned, and that office is functionally closed. This administration isn't even looking for case-by-case solutions to get the detainees out of there one at a time.
You and I go back a ways as reporters in the field, and I'm just wondering, based on your experience as a journalist, how disheartening is this story? I mean, in the sense that you got into this, I mean, it was really a central story to America's response to the war on terror, and it's become something fundamentally different. I suspect that wears on you on some level.
Sure it does. I mean, when we first met each other, it was the Arab-Israeli conflict, and there was a certain level of intransigence. And we'd sit there and we'd watch the story and we'd see the development, and you'd see what was like a slow speed train wreck happening, two sides that couldn't figure out how to stop themselves. And kind of that's what's going on at Guantanamo. You've got guards on the one side, prisoners on the other side hunger striking, and it looks like a train wreck. Who is going to step in and help them find a way to settle down and go back to that peaceful moment from Ramadan? And I just, it is a tough job. You don't really know how people can find a way out of this crisis that's become this hunger strike of a daily report from Guantanamo of one more, two more, three more detainees going on hunger strike.
Are we going to be seeing fatalities in the next couple of weeks?
I don't know the timing, but they've got a man down there named Zach. He's an Arab American. He's the cultural advisor. He and I have been talking to each other down there for the past 6-7 years, and he thinks there's going to be death. He thinks that some of these detainees are going to die, and he's, I think, trying to prepare the reporters for when the military puts out that press release, as if to say, I told you so. So I don't know when it's going to happen. I hope it doesn't happen, but there's people down there who think it will happen.
Carol Rosenberg, reporter for the Miami Herald, just back from Guantanamo Bay. Thanks so much.
Thank you very much.